Hello, good morning. Yeah, the weather makes your sounds louder. Praise God, it's so wonderful to be in the house of God. We'll just give to God and just listen to the word of God. Father, we thank you for your presence, God. It's so beautiful to mention your name. And I pray that anybody that called upon the name of Jesus today, whether it's verbally, they open their name and cry unto you. God, you hear them. You come and manifest your power upon them. We thank you for this time that we can give unto you. I pray that God will just pay our tithes and give our offering. In Jesus' name we give thanks and we pray.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows and the fight. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the
worship team. So beautiful. Okay, this song is so beautiful. Praise God. This coming August, please take note, we are going to have the harvest month. Okay, we are going to do it properly. Okay, I'm most likely in next week, Pastor Lily will start announcing. We're going to really mobilize every one of us. Okay, we are going to print some pamphlets, okay, to invite people to come to our church, okay. For the whole month of August, it is harvest month. I think we are trying to restore as many activities as possible. But I think the putting on your mask, okay, is something that is very, very good, to be very honest with you. Okay, it prevented a lot of spreading. In Singapore, I noticed that they start to spike again. And the reason is because they don't wear masks. They don't wear masks. On the street, they don't wear masks, okay? They only wear masks when they are indoor, they are in the restaurant, or they are in the mall. But I think it's very good that we learn to wear masks, okay, just to prevent. Let's pray that the COVID will just go away. Your country cannot afford to have another shutdown, okay? No country can afford another shutdown. Let's pray that the price of oil will just continue to come down. It started coming down already. And I think, to be very honest, it is all these gas companies that take advantage. They take advantage of the situation and they just increase. You know, Shell itself, just 3 months, they make $3 billion. So the money goes where? Goes to them. So they just take advantage. I think all these people, you know, Jesus said that one day you have to give an account of whatever you did. Especially when you are not a child of God. Whatever you did, you know, you just do something to earn from people, to cheat from people, to get this and get... You have to answer. Everything has to be open and they have to give an account. And God will do it, okay? But we thank God that we are children of God and we can depend upon God in whatever we do. Okay, if your Bible, let's turn to Psalms 39, verse 2 to 6. Then another portion of scripture, Hebrews, just one verse. Hebrews 5, 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Okay, let's read Psalms 39, verse 2 to 6. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heap up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This is about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death. and was hurt in that he feared. And was hurt in that he feared. Father, anoint this message. I depend upon you. Let your hearer hear the word of God. Let the word of God bring challenge, encouragement, nourishment to our soul. Jesus' name I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, Fear God and Nothing Else. Fear God and Nothing Else. It is said that the millennials, okay, the millennials, those born between 1981 and 2000, I think majority of you are here millennials. Okay, it is said that the millennials are sometimes known as the generation fear. Okay, the millennials are called the generation fear. They are often like one of the more popular songs sung by Lily Allen's, being taken over by fear. So the millennium are a generation that are overtaken by fear. They are a generation, they are called the generation fear. Over the last decades, there's been an astronomical increase in the number of cases relating to mental health patients. And most of the cases fall within the category of the millennium generation. I mean, when I was in my 20s, to be very honest with you, I've never heard of such a thing as mental health. Okay, there's never this problem at all. My sermon for the past 36 years, I have never had a title and the content or the content relating to mental health. Very seldom I have this kind of problem. But suddenly my sermon over the past few years, you've seen me mentioning it quite often. Now it is an oft-mentioned topic among medical science. Fear carries two categories. One healthy, the other one unhealthy. In a good sense of the word, the healthy, it is a respect for God and sometimes respect for people, especially for those in authority. We have to respect those in authority. Jesus said, render unto Caesar those that belongs to Caesar, render unto God those that belongs to God. Well, you know what Jesus is trying to say? Submit to the authority. If they ask you to pay tax, you pay tax. But when it comes to asking you to go against God, the authority, then render unto God those that belong to God. God, that's why Peter said, I choose rather to obey God rather than man. That's the meaning of that. Okay, it's a healthy fear. In a bad sense, it means to be frightened. We are supposed to fear God in the good sense, but not to be frightened of anything or anyone else. Many people today are the opposite. They do not fear God. Many people do not fear God. You know, I have an army chat group. There are 60 of us. And I can tell you that many of them do not fear God. But they are full of the wrong kinds of fear in their life. Yeah, I noticed that they are full of the wrong kinds of fear in their life. They are so afraid of dying. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, be honest about your fear. The first thing to handle it, okay, be honest about your fear. Psalms 39, verse 2 and 6 says, verse 2 to 6 says, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred, my heart was hot within me, while I was musing, the fire burned, then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquiet in vain. He heap up riches and know not who shall gather them. You know, I was talking about the millennium. A survey was conducted. 16,000 million children were surveyed across the globe. And the study delved into a variety of topics, including the millennial's fear, their hopes, their belief, their desires. 16,000 is a large sample size. So it is, I could say that it's a very accurate statistic survey. The millennials were discovered to be a misunderstood generation. They are misunderstood generation. I totally agree with that. I feel that we, especially as a body of Christ, should learn. We do not know what they are going through. We should learn to be empathetic. We should learn to be compassionate. We should learn to be understanding toward them. You know, I'll be very honest. I think even Pastor Lily will agree with me. I find it very hard at times to understand Joy and Jen, Millennium children. Maybe God is teaching us as parents, not always saying, you're so rebellious. No, maybe God is teaching us about what to try to understand, to try to feel what they are feeling and think what they are thinking instead of always being censorious. You know, I notice that we are always very censorious towards them, what they think or what they do. Thus, it is a good way to dwell into their greatest fear. People, perhaps you expect Millennium to have the million children to have a bleak outlook on what the future may hold. And study has shown that many of them are earning less than their parents at the same age, especially in the third world country. Okay, especially in the third world country. 71% of Millennium worldwide believe that they will enjoy, but it's very interesting. 71% of Millennium children believe they will enjoy a higher standard of living than their parents enjoy. Wow. Millennium in emerging markets are more positive about their futures and felt they will enjoy a higher standard of living than their parents. You know, when I was reading this survey that was done, I look at my children and even look at the Millennium people in this church. I find this to be very true. My children are definitely enjoying a much higher standard of living than Pastor Lily and myself. I remember when Joy had her first proper paycheck, and as after she was married, okay, she and Ben brought Pastor Lily. I cannot remember whether Ben was there or not, but she brought us to a restaurant, a steakhouse that cost $800. I couldn't stomach it, and I was complaining, I was saying, and she was very offended. See, some of the things, sometimes we cannot understand them. I don't think she was trying to show off. I think she was just trying to appreciate what we as parents has done to her, and she just wanted to show it by a very good meal for us after when we were back in Singapore. Definitely she will not do that every day of our life, but for that moment she was earning a good paycheck. She just wanted to appreciate Pastor Lily and I. The latest report I heard concerning members of this church. So they are earning a higher standard. They are living a higher standard of living. I look at the Millennium children in this church. I look at many of you. The latest report that comes to my ear and Pastor Lily is that many of you are pursuing a house. You are trying to get a house of your own. And some of you are trying to get a car of your own. Am I correct to say that? This is something that is very, very true. These people are enjoying a better living than my members in the 1980s and the 1990s. There were very few cars in my church in the 1980s, in the 1990s. One car only, Pastor Lily said. My car. So INSEAD, INSEAD, declares concerning the Millennium, while pessimists exist, they are easily outnumbered by those who expect to be doing much better than their parents did in their lifetime. This is very true of the Millennium children. How about their fear? Many Millennium claim to fear getting stuck in their career. They are so afraid of getting stuck in their career. You know, I've never seen so many people do job hopping as ever. I've never seen. And this is the Millennium people. This is something we have to understand them. So accurate. Look at my two children. Joy and Jen are constantly thinking about changing jobs. They are afraid of getting stuck in their career. Maybe some of you can identify what I'm saying. You're so afraid of getting stuck in your career. Joy would have changed her job, to be very honest, had not her boss threatened to prevent her from getting her thesis done for a PhD. Jen has really changed her job. She has moved from Ministry of Education. We pay her well. And she moved to Enterprise Singapore. And the first thing she said when she was interviewed, I want to receive $1,000 more. And they give it to her. The Millennium kids are afraid of getting stuck in their careers with no opportunities. As I said just now, the articles that is appearing in Singapore is that there's so much job opportunities and all the Millennium children are job hopping. That is why It is said that a million children are more anxious, more fearful than previous generation. These people, these millennium children, they are more anxious, more fearful than previous generation. That is why, on the whole, they are the most educated lot compared to other generation. I see many of you, I want to take my master's, I want to do my PhDs, Jen want to go for her course in business administration, I want to upgrade myself. Am I correct? Yes. These are the things. They are so afraid of the future, that's why they upgrade themselves. Sadly, the Harvard Business Review recently published a finding on mental health of these working people and paint a bleak picture of this anxiety found among the millennium children. In a survey, half of the millennials between the age of 24 and 39 say they left a job at least partly due to their mental health concern. At the University of Alberta, the website said that 35% of students experience a panic attack due to stress at some point, and mental health advisor on campus said requests for help with anxiety and depression are rising sharply. You know, my friend Simon New, he said that during the COVID, he has more and more jobs, and many of them coming to him because they have mental health problems. And he cannot share with Pastor Lily and I, but he was just telling me that he's very, very busy, especially during the COVID time. You know, I'll never forget Joy, a millennial kid. She was sent back to Singapore alone. And she was taking her A-level, which is the most difficult, more difficult than university degree. And Jen would tell me that, Daddy, sometimes Joy will just, we have our flat that at that time on the 7th floor. Say, Daddy, Joy always look at the window outside at blank. I was scared. Look outside the window. And then she look at the window, look outside. And it was the 7th floor. I was scared. I don't know what. You know, Joy sometimes is a very scary girl. She can just talk to you, then sometimes she was thinking about something. So I call up and say, Joy, are you okay? Is there anything? Then Jen, when she got into college, a very good college, on the first day or second day, I cannot remember, I was in Philippines. She called me up and I heard a voice over the other side crying. I said, where are you, Jen? She said, Daddy, I'm in campus, but I'm in the football field. I did not go to classes because I'm so afraid. Daddy, can you transfer me to another school? She was so scared. I said, Jen, you have God. You don't have to be afraid. You have God. I thank God. I really thank God. Looking, telling you all this story, I thank God that God preserved them. That God protected them. It was the mercy of God and the goodness of God that preserved them until today. I recognize, I fully give God all the glory. I recognize the protection of God upon my children's life. And you have to pray for the same thing for your children. I'm giving you many examples of the millennium fears, and I think they are real. They are real and should not be just ignored, cast aside, and wrongfully rebuked, censured, and admonished. I feel that church and pastors should be understanding and helpful. I think this generation, I heard this famous statement, the generation of today, I worry for them because their future is so bleak. This is the statement I hear from the older generation. So we should be understanding, we should be helpful. As a senior pastor, I advise you to be honest with your fear. Be honest with your fear. If you are suffering, you don't have to hide because it's a shameful thing. No, it's not a shameful thing. You can be honest with God. Am I correct? You don't have to go to a priest and say, priest, I did this, I did wrong. You don't have to. Today you are in church. You can just go directly to God and say, God, these are my fears. These are my apprehension. These are my anxiety. These are my... No, we have to pray for Pastor Billy. Pastor Billy is almost 70 years old. He just called Pastor Carlos after we pray for him. Pastor Billy Tan, you know, for one week, he couldn't sleep because he got nightmares, anxiety, and fears. Why? No, last Sunday, I sense a depression among members in our congregation. And it is true. And I feel that it is still true for some of you today. I want to tell you to be honest about your fears. All of us experience fear. You may try to suppress and deny your fears, or you can be honest and open about them, especially to your great God. David comes before God with some burning question. He has tried being silent and found that his anguish only increased when he wasn't communicating with God. Verse 2 says, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. When you're going through anxiety, when he was going through, he just kept his mouth shut. And because he kept his mouth shut, he was even more in depression. David realized how much a human life is spent in anxiety and fear. Briefly, and the brevity of life gives perspective to anxiety. Life is fleeting. In verse 4, David said, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Our life is like a breath. Fear often concerns money. Yeah, it's true. It concerns money. You can tell God about it. You tell God about it. You tell men fail you. You tell God, God will not fail you. There's an invisible hand that is there to heal and help and deliver you. David is particularly concerned about the suffering he sees around and in his own life. He cannot understand how God can allow it. In the midst of the desperation, it is healthy to voice your concern and grievances to God. God understands that fear will cause confusion and grief. So you have to tell God your confusion and your grief. Number 2, know what God has given you. Who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5:7, when he had offered prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was hurt in that he feared. Was hurt that in that he feared. Jesus went through the worst for us. The phrase prayer and supplication with strong cryings and tears relates to Jesus' Gethsemane emotion experience. It was said that there was such an intensity of emotion during Jesus' experience at the Garden of Gethsemane. It was so intense, he said to his disciple, yeah, he's greatly distressed and troubled. And he says to the disciple in Hebrews, he tell them that my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here with me. He was fearful that he wants the company. He wants the disciple to be with him, but they cannot decide. They are more sleepy than understanding him. He wants the company of the disciple. Jesus needed the company of the disciple, but the disciple was sleeping. He was sorrowful. Hebrews 5:7 said he feared. Was Jesus afraid of death? Death is the natural human fear. And Jesus was fully human. Death is the natural human fear. And Jesus was fully human. More than that, Jesus was afraid of being separated from Yahweh the Father. Yet for all of us, he went to the cross. At the cross, he conquered fear so that you don't have to be fearful anymore. Jesus not just conquered fear, but more than that, he removed the fear in our life. And he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. If you study 2 Timothy properly, 2 Timothy is one of the last books of the Bible. It's about the last days. The last day is talking about the last day. It's talking about generation. And Jesus said that when I died at the cross of Calvary, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but I've given you a power, love, and a sound mind. He talks about it. The phrase, God has given us a spirit of. God has given you a spirit of. Remember the cross. When Christ died the cross of Calvary, Christ not only delivered you, but he has given you a spirit of. If you study properly, the ancient Greek text for the verse, God has given you a spirit of, the Holy Spirit is specifically mentioned. That means he's talking about giving you the Holy Spirit. Yet the spirit of is also a small s. It talks about God has given you a spirit. In reality, it has dual ambiguity. God has given each and every one of us the greatest gift, and that is the Holy Spirit, as well as a spirit for the ministry, a bold and a powerful spirit, a spirit that has faith, a spirit that is not afraid of the future. I remember when I got saved in my first time, there's such a spirit inside me that I was not afraid of anything. Just have this, it's like my personality changed and I just am brave. And my sister was leaving the house and I don't talk to my family. I went back home after the camp. I said, you cannot go away. You stay at home. And she's older than me. She did not leave the house. God has given you a spirit. It's a different spirit. It's a boldness. It's a faith spirit. He did not just give you the Holy Spirit, but He has given you a spirit. So million and children, when you have Christ as a personal Savior, God did not take away the fear only. He has given you a spirit, a bonus, a faith. Because of the victory at the cross, you don't need to have a mental breakdown. But He has given you a sound mind. God has given you the spirit of power, love, sound mind. I told you, it's the last days. And Timothy was foreseeing the last day. The need of the last day was a sound mind. The sound mind is taken from the Greek word sophronio, which is a compound word, a combination of two words, sozo and phronio. Sozo and phronio. The Greek word sozo means to be saved, to be delivered. It suggests something that is delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected, and is now safe and secure. That's what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. For you. I've given you a sound mind. I have delivered you. I've rescued you. I've revived you. I've salvaged you. I've protected you. And now you are safe and you are secure. That's the meaning. One Bible expositor suggested the word sozo can actually depict a man that was on the verge of death. But he was revived. He was resuscitated. Because new life was breathed into him. A new life has come upon him. That's what Christ did for you. A new life has come upon you. You don't have to be afraid of future. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You're a new life. You are different. You are a new creation. Honestly, these Psalms does not provide the full answer to these fears. Yet right at the heart of the Psalms, as David lays his fears, anguish and frustration before God, we see that he finds the answer in his relationship with God. That's why relationship is so important. You know, your salvation, being born again in Jesus, is not a product, a ticket to heaven, a fire insurance policy, but a changed life. A living relationship with Christ. David says in verse 7, my hope is in you. My hope is in you. Can you say that? My hope is in you. And his prayer at the end is recognition that he deeply depended completely on God for an answer. Brothers and sisters, you can be honest with your fear. You can be honest. But you don't have to respond like one that is without God. Yes. You cannot. You don't have to respond that like one that is without God and without Christ. You have God. You have Christ. The wicked lives for today. For themselves. But the faithful follower knows he lives and speaks for Yahweh. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit. You know what is the difference between you and the people outside this church? Without the aid of the Holy Spirit, the wicked, they can never comprehend their own spiritual and physical condition. They can never comprehend their fears, their physical and spiritual condition. That's why many of them just give up their life. They commit suicide, which we are not allowed to. They can never comprehend the truth about God, the truth of God regarding their fear. They will ask the wrong question. They will go and see a quokka. They will seek astrology. They will go and see anting, whatever it is. They will go and seek this. They went and seek a counselor. They ask the wrong question and focus on the wrong thing. It is true. Okay, let's not be naive. It is true, the fate of the righteous and the unrighteous are the same. There's the uncertainty of life. Let's be very honest. Okay? There's the fleetingness of life. God said our life is like hand breath. There is a false focus. People focus on fame and riches of life. There's a false focus of life. There's unfairness of life. Let's be very honest. There is the unfairness of life. These are the four things that we all experience, whether you're righteous or you're unrighteous. Yet for the righteous, the difference of things that Yahweh is active in your life. You understand me? You are not walking alone. Please understand this truth. If God be for you, who can be against you? Yahweh's judgment, if there is some testing in your life, Yahweh's judgment are disciplinary, not punitive. Whatever happened to you, bad things happen to you, it is a kind of discipline. It's not punishment. Yahweh takes away the things that we trust and cherish more than Him. True. True. So the Psalms is the general summary of how Yahweh deals with His faithful followers. Be honest with your fear, yet at the same time, know your God. Number three, fear God and nothing else. After that, fear God and nothing else. Let me ask you this question. What are you afraid of? What is your greatest fear right now? Last night, Pastor Lily asked me, what is your greatest fear? I didn't tell her what is my sermon.
No, what's the nightmare?
Yeah. What is your greatest fear? A 2005 poll listed the 10 things people fear most by teenagers. That includes a millennium. Terrorist attack. Spiders. It's true. You know, just a few days ago, there was a big spider. So big, you know, like the size of my palm with the tentacles and the legs. So big. I went to the kitchen and take the... I'm not afraid. I'm afraid and yet not afraid. But I got to take the stick and kill it. In the end, I killed it. Spiders, death, failure, war, heights, crime and violence, being alone, laon, the future... Nuclear war. Hey, don't laugh at that. You know, Pastor Lily's sister tell Jen, she regret not marrying. So don't be choosy, okay?
Right.
As I look at this, I will say that the thing I fear the most is failure. I fear failure. I'd be honest with you, I'm very afraid of failure. I know that some of you are literally afraid of heights. I remember the LSBC team came. I brought them to Bukhari. Then after that, we went to Koron. Then after that, he couldn't function. One of them couldn't function properly. I realized that this man is afraid of height. And he was sick. He was with chill and cold and couldn't work for 1 week in Singapore. So there are people that are really afraid of height. Some of you told me that, Pastor, I've already been to Itoble. I went up. But and when I come down, I saw the thing, I was afraid. I'm not going back anymore. I heard another person also say that. So we have to respect them. Okay? It is real. We have to respect them. I'm not making fun, but there are people that really have problem with heights. Are you afraid of death? Pastor Lily's sister she's a very self-sufficient person. She's not poor. She's self-made. She's a very proud lady, to be very honest. But when she was dying, I've never seen her cry so much in her entire life. She was afraid of death. The top 10 in the 2011 medical survey include some people are afraid of snakes. Joy is afraid of cockroach. Some of you are afraid of heights, close-in spaces. I am afraid. I didn't know. Okay, because Singapore is such an enclosed place. So, my house is bigger than in Singapore, so when we're so enclosed, I don't know how to behave. Then I remember I took a plane from here to Manado. Okay, the plane was a propeller plane, and I really freeze. I cannot do anything. Enclosed place, darkness, like in the elevator. Okay, storm. Some of you are afraid of dentists. Fear is a natural part of human conditions. In fact, it is necessary for survival. What we are going to find out is this. If you fear the Lord, you don't need to be afraid of anything else. The Bible shows us that the people in the Old Testament had a very healthy fear of God. I read to you, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. It says this, "The Lord of hosts, Him shall you hallow. Him shall be your fear. Him shall be your dread." Dread God. Fear God. You might be surprised. The Bible is full of promises for those who fear God. And when they fear God, they need fear nothing else. There was an article written about 14 habits of the miserable people. The first habit was be very afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid of economic loss. In hard times, in hard economic times, many people are afraid of losing their jobs or saving. The act of messing up your life consists of indulging your... If you are always afraid, okay, this is bad time because of COVID, because of rise of oil prices, when I'm going to lose my job. If you continue to do that, you mess up your life. You mess up your life. If you indulge in these fears, you will alienate your friends. You will alienate your families. You will likely become even more anxious, even more depressed, even more ill from your money worries. But if you have a healthy fear of God, don't be afraid. You're not going through life alone. Our God, who is both all-powerful and all-good, has promised to provide for those who fear Him. So you say, you're afraid of economic situation. I read to you Psalms 33, verse 18 to 19. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their souls from death, to keep Him alive, to keep them alive in famine." To keep them alive in famine. To keep you alive in the COVID-19. To keep you alive in the Ukraine war as a result. The high prices of oil. I know the eggs is going to 15 peso, one egg. I dare frankly, I feel an invisible hand with me in the past 2 years, in the midst of the COVID-19 and the Ukraine war. The news of the economic recession rings every day. Those of you who like to read news, Bombo Radio. Pastor Lily titled our August month, Harvest Month, "Good News in the Midst of Bad News. Good News in the Midst of Bad News." You know, I share with you, no pride, just humility share with you. All of you know that we sold our house, our first house, so that we can give more than 4 million for the construction of this building. Definitely, we have to buy another house. And because of the new house, we have to extend our... We have no old time in the first house. But because we got to buy this new house, we have 17 years of mortgage payment. 17 years. I thank God that I've already paid 10 years. 7 years to go. And if I calculate properly my CPF fund, okay, you call it the Pak Ibik fund. My Pak Ibik fund will deplete within 3 years out of these 7 years. Or within 4 years out of these 7 years. So the last three or four years, to tell frankly, I was wondering where to get the money to pay for it. Then in May 2021, I was stuck there. We were trying to come back. We couldn't come back. Somebody called me. Say, "Tony, I want to support you." If all the people, he's the least person I thought of. To tell Frankie, then I said, "No, I don't, no need your help." He was very angry at me. So I also was rebuked by God. "He wants to help you. Why don't you accept it?" I said, "Okay, thank you so much." So he gave me, he said he's going to support me from May 2021 until July this month, 2022. So all the money he gave me, I put in the bank, I put in the bank, I put in the bank, I put in the bank. You know what happened? Finally, this is the last month. And I said, "Thank you for the..." And look at the fund. It was more than enough to pay for my mortgage payment. In the midst of bad times. In the midst of bad times. Psalms 33, 18, 19 says, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep Him alive, to keep Him alive in famine." Literally, God prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. prepare a tables in the presence of the COVID-19. Prepare a tables for me in the presence of all the high prices of food. All of you know that Joy is getting having a delivery in September. Pastor Lily, me, we are going back. I'm trying to reduce the price of the air ticket. You know, the air ticket prices goes up higher and higher, especially everybody want to fly right now. It was very expensive. I was thinking how to bring down the price, how to bring down the price. Then Pastor Lily said, why don't you use a Kris Flyer? I said, okay. I didn't know. So I went to the Kris Flyer and I checked. Hey, I have enough point to pay for the trip with Pastor Lily and myself, go back and come back. And in the end, I just pay for the taxes, which is $100 for 4,000 peso. Two of us, round trip. The whole cost is $100, 4,000 pesos. And we're not flying by Philippine Airlines. We are flying by Singapore Airlines. God is so good. We don't have a house to stay because we rented our house. Then Daryl has to go to Germany during that time. Jen said, why don't you stay with us? Oh, we took the opportunity. So we are going to stay with Jen. But for the next 13 days, we will have to stay in the hotel because we don't want to trouble them as newly married couples. And you know something? I was able to lock into Ascott Residence. The hotel owned by Ascott Residence. You know the Ascott Residence is one of the most high posh hotels in the world. You go to Manila, Shangri-La, Makati. Opposite is the Ascott Residence. Very expensive. For the first, we have to stay the next 13 days, not in Jen's house and Daryl's house. For the 11 days, we are able to stay there free. The other 2 days, somebody just gave a love offering and we cover it. Because we are members of a certain club. So it's free. Free. Then definitely when we go to Singapore, we have to have food and transport, right? The government of Singapore is giving us in August, 1st of August, $1,400, which is around 60,000 peso for our stay in Singapore. There's an invisible hand. There's an invisible hand. You must believe it. You honor God with your substance. You be responsible. You honor God with your lifestyle. I'm not sharing this to boast. I'm sharing this. I notice an invisible hand. God knows that we are going to Singapore. God knows how to prepare us for it. Is all this a coincidence? No. Can you call this all this coincidence for me and Pastor Lily? No. There's no such thing as coincidence for a child of God. There's only the invisible hand of God. Though we cannot avoid the possibility of danger and calamity in life, we can rest assured that God is with us and will hold us in His hand. He's reliable, no matter how unreliable the world is around us. Fear God and nothing else. No, there's this saying, faith means allowing God to give you an easier life. I say again, faith means allowing God to give you an easier life. How about the promise of a long life? Anyway, let's not talk about long life. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about Yahweh keeping you alive. Okay, keeping you alive. Like Billy Tan, we have to pray for him. The fear of God prolongs life. Proverbs 10:27. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. One of the reasons people's lives are shortened is because of their wayward behavior. Like, you know, doctors has already proven, it's already proven, if you smoke and if you drink a lot, your life will be shortened. Please believe me. Please believe that. Okay? In contrast, God promises a longer life to those who promptly fear God. God promised, I'll give you a long life. I'll keep you from sicknesses. How about the blessing of future generation? How about the blessing of future? How about your children? The blessing for your children. The blessing to your children's children. How about the children? All of you are concerned. You know, you always, when you say, Pastor, I ask you, what do you want me to pray? You say, Pastor, please pray for health in my family. Please pray for blessing my family. You want blessing upon your children. You want blessing upon your children's children. Psalms 103:17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. Children's children. Okay, I know some of you got more children. Don't worry, God will take care. It's not the end of the world. One of the common fears we have is for our children's safety. New parents are often afraid to have their children brought out of their sight. It's not enough to just have an audio monitor. Now we have a video monitor, a CCTV. Joy has renovated a proper house for her. How blessed she is. A proper room for her baby. It's a very nice house, room. She's going to install CCTV. The baby will have her own room and they need a monitor. Parents of teenagers can't get to sleep until their kids are safely home, especially if they are old enough to drive. Grandparents worry about the kind of world their grandchildren will have to live in. We worry. Some of them don't want to have children because they are so afraid that children grow up accepting homosexuality and lesbianism. I tell you frankly, that's one of the reasons Joy doesn't want to have children. Because of the influence of the media. But fear of God eases all those anxiety. Because we have the promise of God that He will be faithful, not just for us, but to our children and to our children's children. How about disease? How does disease come about in our life? We have a few options. God does send them for punishment and for growth. God allowed, He did not send, but He allowed them to occur. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen. You have to accept it. Good people do catch COVID-19. Okay, please understand that truth. Okay? But as a child of God, I have chosen by faith to trust and hope and wait on God in the midst of the mysterious, unfair, evil events in life. I do not understand why. Some of you, why? Why now? Why this? How long? You always ask, why? Why now? Why this? How long? But I do have faith and believe that God is with me. For me, that there can be a purpose and effective outcome of all things. This should be your worldview, your faith stance. Your worldview is not like the worldview of those people outside of this church. You have God. You know, Pastor Lily, God sees. God sees. You know, Pastor Chua called his son Elroy. The first time when he said Elroy, I said, El is God. Roy is royal. So you are saying that Elroy is a royal God? How proud are you to call your son Elroy? Then 1 or 2 weeks before I met Pastor Chua, God brought me to a scripture and the word Elroy came about. So I saw Pastor Chua. Hey, Pastor Chua, now I know why you call your son Elroy. Pastor Chua said, yes, the God who sees. The God who sees. God saw that Pastor Chua and Chukim love a child. And they have no children. And God gave them the child. Elroy. God who sees. You know, our God is not blind. Our God is not deaf. Whatever is happening to you, He sees. And He hears. The God who sees. What I'm trying to share this entire morning is have a healthy fear of God. And you need fear nothing else. Have you gone through your fear, a fear that caused you to sweat as if like drops of blood? Jesus did. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was anxious and fearful of facing death at the cross, but facing head on. So that today, in your day of calamity, your most moments of fear, He is your stability, He is your rock. Pastor Lily was talking about rock, stability and rock. Just now she was talking about Jesus is your rock, Jesus is your stability. You know, I was in Miagao. I went mountain climbing. We passed and I'm not young, you know. I was so tired that they got to get a horse for me. Yeah, I was so tired. So I went up the horse to the mountain. But then we went down and I came across this, I think Pastor Carlos was with me. I came across this valley. But as I was going through the valley, I saw this huge rock. I said, hey, this rock comes, did somebody put that rock there? It's a gigantic granite rock. I said, how come all of a sudden there's this big rock there? Then God tell me that rock is strength. That rock is stability. That rock is longevity. What I'm trying to tell you, do you know that there's rock everywhere except in the city? You go to all the provinces, there's rock, there are gigantic granite rocks. It tells you that God is everywhere, and yet we don't see, especially those that live in the city, they do not see the rock of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. So that in the moments of fear, He is your rock. You look at the rock. You look at it. It's so stable. It's so strong. It's so durable. The greatest fear of human is death. I'm finishing. Yet Christ took this greatest fear of humanity, called the fear of death, upon Himself, so that we can have life and peace. He said, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. Why Jesus is able to make such bold promises to us? Because He has undergone the greatest fear on our behalf, having His peace with God removed at the cross, so that today you can have the Prince of Peace with you. You can have the Holy Spirit. You can have the stability of life. You can have the rock of Jesus. So whatever fear you have the peace of God. Your heart need not be troubled, not be afraid, because Jesus is your peace. Somebody say, have fear on God. Somebody has feared God, and there's Jesus on your behalf. So that today, you need not fear anyone else, anybody else. So I speak to all of you. Today is so bright. The weather is so nice. It's God that gives us such a good weather. God is trying to tell you, whatever you have gone through, He's here with you. You know, you think, sometimes God let you go through so many things in life so that you can understand the experience, the goodness of God in your life. How God delivered you. The Bible says God has delivered you, and He will deliver, and He will continue to deliver until we see Him face to face one day. Amen? Shall we close our eyes, musician? Let's sing. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Fear God. Be honest about your fear. Yes, be very honest. This morning, as we worship, I want you to tell God about your worry for money. I want you to tell God about your worry for education. I want you to tell God about your worry for your health. Tell God. Be honest with your fear. But know what God has given you. Know what God has given you. And fear God. And you'll fear nothing else. Shall we all stand up? Let's just worship this Jesus. Worship this Jesus. And I want you to be very honest. I want you to talk to your God. Yes. No, I felt that some of you, I just sense that some of you are very dry. You're very, very tired. I don't mark you for your dryness. You're very weary, very, very weary. You are tired because you work so hard and it's not coming out. And you feel very alone. I want to tell you, you are not alone. Why don't you just surrender it to God? I promise, I prophesy to you that if you just give your life to God today and say, God, walk with me. Please walk with me. Please walk with me. In 1 year's time, you'll see how God has delivered you, how God has blessed you, how God has taken care of you. Shall we sing? Shall we sing?
Fear and all anxiety.
I put a fire upon your heart right now. There's a burning sensation upon your body right now. It's the Spirit of God. Right now, I breathe the life into your soul. I discard every fear. I give unto you the peace of God. I give unto you a sound mind that will revive you, resuscitate you, and restart your life, and renew, and revive, and start a new life in you right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. Receive it. Receive it. You know, God is saying that, don't worry about your future children. I'm going to bless your children, your life. I'm going to bless you financially. God is saying that, I will take care of you. I will bless you financially. God is saying that very clearly right now as I speak to you. God said, I will bless you financially. God said, you just walk with me. You just make your appointment with me. Just have a living relationship with me. God said, I will take care of this life of yours. You will witness my invisible hand in your life. You will witness an unmysterious hand guiding the special mysterious forces that will turn things around and events and circumstances in your life that will bless you. That will bless you. Call upon Jesus today as we sing.
Call upon Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Over every heart and every mind.
people. The world is encircling you with loud voices of negativism. The world is shouting to you, doom here and doom there. Recession here and recession there. Infection here and infection there. Death here and death there. And you, my people of God, you're hiding behind the wall of Jerusalem, hearing the loud, bombasting voice from the media, from the Facebook, from news, from people, and even in your own mind. You have the devil speaking to you like Sennacherib sending his envoy to speak fear to the people behind the wall of Jerusalem. But I say to thee, fear not.
Amen.
For I am the Lord thy God. I am the one who had purchased you. You are mine. Amen. When you go through the toughest time right now, I am with you and will never forsake you. And I say unto thee, do not try to be me. Do not try to be God, wanting to control your life and control your future. Because when you try to take my place by being the God, by being the false God of your own life, leaving me out of the picture of your life, then your life will be crowded with thorns. And it will choke you with all the cares, not only of today, but of the future. I am the God of the past, present, and future, the Alpha and Omega, and everything in between. I say unto thee, my people, just as Isaiah said to the people through Hezekiah, be not afraid, I am the Lord thy God. Let only me be your fear. Let only me be your dread. Fear not the infection. Fear not anything like COVID or even the plunging price, or I mean the rising price of things around you, because I surround you.
Amen.
Let my voice be louder than the voice of Satan.
Amen.
Let my voice in your mind be louder than the voice of negativism that's coming from all around your life, because I, the Lord, am Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be spoken into every situation of your life, and I will be your stability. Thus say the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you for hearing our cry. God, we hear your voice. We obey your voice. Let your voice be our chief salvation. Let us depend upon your voice. You will drown out every fear, every anxiety, every situation. God, we don't have to face the world like the people of this world face, because we have you. We thank you for your word. And Father, right now we unite together, pray for Pastor Billy right now in the name of Jesus. God, I know that he's in his 70s, and I know that for one whole week he couldn't sleep, and there's anxiety and panic attack, and it's affecting his health right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace upon him right now. I speak peace into his soul right now. I command healing, and I command all the anxiety to leave, and I command you, devil, to leave him alone. Leave him alone. You're not going to touch this person. I lay my hand upon him. I put the anointing of God upon his hand, his body, his soul, his entire being right now. Father, thank you for your word today. Challenge us to fear you and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Please be seated. Please take note that this afternoon we have our second service at 2 o'clock, 3:30 is your SCG. Please take note that this whole week, okay, on Tuesday, we have our zonal prayer meeting. Wednesday to Saturday, we have our cell group, okay, our cell group. Then Saturday, we have 2 p.m. at T-Zone and 4 p.m. for our youth central, okay. Please take note, TKC, every Sunday for two services, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. God bless you. Go in the peace of God. Have a sound mind. Thank you very much. God bless you.